Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to the McSauce Podcast.
Welcome to episode 358 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell. It is Monday night, February. Oh, Jesus. It is Wednesday night, February 3rd.
Surprise.
I had all the numbers right, but I didn't get the day of the week, right?
Why are we recording on a Wednesday?
Well, because we had just a whisper of the East Coast snowmageddon come through our parts over the last couple of days. But here we are. We are convened in person, socially distanced, as to maintain safety for the entire country. And tonight, what are we talking about? We're talking about what properties we want to see turned into an animated series, be it a brand new property that's never been done before, or something that was done before but sucked, and now we can do it better. But before we talk animated properties, we talk housekeeping with animated Ian Sharpley.
Something else that should have been that was done before and sucked, and now we're redoing it. We're continuing to change and churn. McSauce.com, the home of our podcast, our webcomic. You can also go to any of the social medias and check us out there on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. You can hit us up on Twitter. Sometimes people go on there and tell us that our ideas and thoughts are stupid. And sometimes people go on there and they offer us hot roast beef sandwiches via Twitter. So
sometimes
thanks, Jer.
Sometimes people tell us King Kong is better than Godzilla, and we eliminate them from our lives.
Yes, from time to time that happens. So check us out on all of the social medias. You can also hear our Patreon show. We have a special show that we put on Patreon. If you go to Patreon, type in MCSOSS and plunk down five of your hard-earned dollars. You can check out the exclusive episodes that we put out there. We do a little bit different, or I don't know if it's different than the main show, but there are additional episodes, we'll say. We do a lot of Transformer talk. We do a lot of video game talk. We also do a list of an ongoing Spotify list of songs that we add each month. We add some different songs on there. So go on, check out our Patreon for $5, and you will get a survey sent over to you. You fill it out, and we will create a specialized episode just for you.
What a wonderful bonus for signing up to the Patreon. And also, just go on iTunes, leave us a review, leave us a 5-star review, leave us just 4 or 5 star. If you really don't want to leave more than a 4 or 5 star, we don't need your service. But if you want to leave us a nice review, we would really appreciate it. It would give us a little boost in the iTunes stats if you like us. If you want to help us succeed, go give a review. It doesn't take long. I know all your podcasts that you listen to, they say, go leave a review. We're saying it too, and you're like, oh, I couldn't possibly take 10 to 15 seconds out of my busy, busy day to go leave a review for this podcast that I really like. But please think about us and how you have our fate in your hands, and you can help us. You can save us. You can be the Captain America of this podcast.
Or even if you want to, just recommend our show to one person. If you really like us, go out there and recommend our show to somebody that likes candy war talk or
candy, cheese, tans, comic books.
A bunch of different stuff.
If you're like
into cheesy tans with candy attributes.
The basics, you know.
So, last week I heard a couple rumors that Batman the Animated Series was in for a reboot via HBO Max. The original creators, Bruce Timm, Paul Dini, everyone was going to be coming back. They're going to relaunch Batman the Animated Series. It has been confirmed. Just a rumor.
It's just a rumor at this point.
It's just a rumor at this point.
It's not a rumor.
Brutal.
I know I have such podcaster brain. I'm sitting there on my couch. My wife lovingly says, "Hey, did you hear about this rumor about Batman? They're bringing it back." She didn't even use a word rumor. She's like, "They're bringing back Batman the Animated Series." And without even looking up from my iPad or looking at her, I was like, "Has that been confirmed?" So things have been going great.
we're trained here.
I know. I could feel just the wind go out of her sails as she was like, "Well, no, but I thought you really liked this." And I was like, "Oh, I do, hon, you know."
Do we want to see a Batman the Animated Series, not even a reboot, just a continuation? Because from the rumors, just rumors that I've heard, it would just be picking up where the original series left off. Like, I wouldn't imagine much would change other than new stories, new characters, new villains. Do we want to see it? Do we think it can be done? Or was the animated series such the pinnacle of comic book animation for its day? It will just sully it trying to redo it.
I think that if they did it today, the animation quality would be better than it was back in 92 when it first started. I think that animation by today's standards is actually a little rough. It's a little hard to look at this point. What I would say is that I don't really think I would be into it. I mean, I'm sure I would watch it if they made it. But whenever they came out with the, whatever it's called, the new Batman Adventures comic book that came out a year or two ago, I thought that was going to be kind of like an update to Batman the Animated Series. Sort of have the same kind of format and tone, but just a little bit maybe more mature. Kind of as if it had matured with the audience that grew up with it. And lo and behold, it was exactly the same as the old show. It had the same art style. It had the exact same style of writing. And I just don't know if there's much more that you can do that they haven't already done given that style. It's like what they've given us is plenty. It's like, do I need another Joker story in that exact same style? One that's not taking any more chances or doing anything any differently? I don't know. It's not like this is some kind of serialized storytelling.
What chances do you want to see taken?
I think I maybe would want maybe to be more of a through line through it. It felt like, for the most part, you could watch the episodes out of order. Didn't really matter.
I've been getting Batman the Adventure Continues, and there is a through line through it. The first, I think, what, 9 issues are all... There's a mysterious figure, it's Red Hood, like they address what happened with Jason Todd, and, you know, I mean, they don't... It's still a kid's book, like the animated series is a kid's story, so no one beats someone to death covered in blood with a crowbar.
Yeah,
I think there are more mature. They do as much with the DC Comics lore as they can with a a property that's going to be geared toward children.
And that's fine. I think I would like the artwork to evolve a little bit, but not necessarily in the way that they evolved it into season 4 of the animated series, where they essentially ruined the designs of just about everything.
I love every design update except Mr. Freeze and Killer Croc.
I think they are all worse except for Scarecrow.
Scarecrow's really cool.
Yeah, Scarecrow's the best. Scarecrow should never look like anything but that season 4 Batman, the New Adventures of Batman and Robin, I think it was called.
Yeah, I like the Joker update as well.
Oh, I love it. And I think I loved all those updates.
Yeah, I think I liked those designs a lot as well. Should have brought that. I have a Batman the Animated Series, like a behind the scenes art book. Should have brought that.
Oh, that's a good art book. Mm-hmm. I have it too. Horrible binding on it, by the way.
Yeah, you know what? That's funny you mentioned that. I think the spine's completely broken.
Yeah,
on
the
mine.
Glue. Apparently, they used water for their adhesive on the binding on this book.
Mr. Freeze.
They just licked it and they're like, ah, that should stick.
He hit it with the ice gun and he was like, here you go, kid. here you go, kid. That's my Freeze.
Hey, that's another Arnold impression. Now it's your turn, Paul. We got to do an Arnold.
Well, no, Ian's was.
Mine was from.
What is that, guys? Oh, what is
that
guy's
name? Terrible. I thought you were doing Arnold.
You know what? You're right. So, Matt, you are saying that you wouldn't be into this new series if it came out.
No, not really. I would rather those guys maybe focus on something other than revisiting Batman and doing more of the same. If they were going to do something a little different with it, and I'm not even saying like completely change things, but I'm saying maybe just add a little bit more of an edge to it. Maybe make the artwork a little edgier.
Put some nips on them.
Put some, yeah, there you go.
Give me some camel toe.
Jesus.
The Dark Knight's camel toe continues.
Well, that would be a moose knuckle.
Ah.
But maybe Poison Ivy could
moose
have
man.
A camel toe.
But anyway, regardless, if they make it, I'm still going to watch it. I'm sure I will. But I will say this. I don't think that the fourth season of the animated series is as good as the first three. So,
Did you guys like the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited?
I watched very little of it.
I really like those shows, and I think that they should expand out, do more of the DC Universe. We don't need to go back and revisit Gotham City. It's fine. We all know what happens there. A lot of crazy people, weird eccentrics. Let's see more of the DC Universe, I think. You guys watch Justice League Action, that one?
I watched a handful of the first episodes, and then it turned into like kids programming TV schedule where who knows when it's on or how you can get access it. And I lost track of it. And
yeah,
but it seemed
I kinda
fine.
Like that show.
I felt
fun.
Like from what I heard, it kind of built itself together the further it went.
Yeah.
But the first few episodes were like, well, this is like a really dumbed down JLA. So, it was fine.
I liked it. I liked the art style. I liked some of the voice acting. They got some big, you know, big hitters there.
Tell you what, Dietrich Bader is Kevin Conroy's Batman successor.
Yeah.
Because in the Harley Quinn show, I'm like,
what's his name?
Is that Kevin Conroy?
Didn't he also
Dietrich
do
Bader?
It in...
Dietrich Bader.
Wasn't he in The Brave and the Bold as well? Isn't he the voice on
right,
that?
Right, but I never got to see The Brave and the Bold. Mm-hmm. It's not available anywhere now that I can access. But yeah, he does Batman and Harley Quinn. And I'm like, man, what a very good Kevin Conroy mm-hmm. Batman he's doing.
Yeah.
You don't want somebody that kind of brings his own thing?
He does enough, but it's still that's Batman to me.
Okay.
I don't. I think at some point, like Nathan Fillion or someone did Batman and some animated thing, and I'm like, yeah, that's not Batman. Christian Bale's not Batman.
Right. Kevin Conroy is Batman, right? Like, as far as the voice.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne, or Bruce Wayne, Ben Affleck looks. He's got the look. But he sounds like Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, right?
But yeah, Dietrich Bader he just sounds like a different Kevin Conroy, and I think it's great.
So I was thinking about this this past week. Sorry to deviate a little bit here, Ian, but what do you think is not the definitive? Just pick your favorite Batman look.
Batman look. I think that my favorite Batman look is probably in that fourth season that you don't like all that much with the gray and the black.
Same. That's the one.
What's
hands
yours,
hands Matt? Down? Like, I don't even need, nothing even comes close to my favorite Batman look.
I would say the 1970s, 80s, Silver Age looking.
Like Jim Aparo kind of looking.
The blue and the gray.
The blue and the gray, the superpowers version.
Yeah.
A lot of the times
I guess in the comics his ears were longer then.
They were longer, yeah.
Who was the artist that did that style guide, that DC style guide that was making the rounds a couple years ago? With like, all the artwork that looked like, God, like that superpower stuff.
Jose Garcia Lopez.
Jose Garcia Lopez,
I think. Yeah, that stuff, such like just classic DC artwork. And that's what the Batman looks like. He's, you know, the blue cape and cowl and the gray, the yellow circle on the chest. And that's wonderful. But man, that updated New Adventures of Batman and Robin look. It's the all gray, gold belt. Loved it. Simple. Like, so good.
Yeah. So, why don't we get into... Matt?
Matt already... Are you looking up? Are you following up?
I was looking for something, but I can't seem to find it. Who the artist was. So... Anyway, Ian, please go on.
I was just going to move us along to sort of the meat of what we were going to talk about tonight, which should be if we were going to choose a property to get, either it was a previous cartoon and we're going to reboot it, or it's a property that has never had the animated treatment to it, what would we choose? Would it be a blockbuster film? Would it be 2D animation, cartoon? Would it be a series, a movie? What would we pick? And then we'll have a backup choice as well. Paul, would you like to go first?
No. Ian, would you like to go first?
I always do, so why not?
Do you always? Is this a McSauce thing?
Yes, because you two battle it out for who wants to go last.
Do you want me to go first? I can go first.
Yeah, Matt. Go first.
Yeah. So my choice would be... well, let me give you some background here.
Get comfortable.
I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and they asked, why is it that Eric Larson never did a cartoon for Savage Dragon? And I said, well, funny you ask that.
As he casually pushed up his glasses onto his nose.
Very casually, yeah.
Well, funny you ask that.
In 1995, they did create a Savage Dragon cartoon show. It was on the USA Network during the Extreme Power Hour or something
extreme,
like that.
Get your Mountain Dew, kids!
Right?
Put on your fin!
That's how Savage Dragon turned green, you know.
Too much Dew!
So it got me thinking about Savage Dragon a bit and how... Those early issues of Savage Dragon, to this day, are like my favorite comic books. I think that the character, those early stories are iconic. The character is, and not only that character, but that entire initial cast is so iconic. You know, I was thinking about what makes a character super fucking iconic. Like, you know what's really important? I think if I look at a silhouette of a character, I want to know who it is. And you can do that with Batman. You can do it with Spawn. You can do it with Savage Dragon. Mm-hmm. And
you can do that with Wolverine.
Wolverine. Yep. Yep. I mean, most of like the biggest and best characters, you can pretty much do it with. And I just feel like Savage Dragon didn't really get a fair shake. I mean, it wasn't that it wasn't fair. It was a children version of Savage Dragon. And it wasn't even a very well executed children's version of Savage Dragon, which coincidentally is available for streaming on the Peacock app of all things. Who knew? Apparently Ian knew. He's shaking his head. I knew. I just wasn't going to tell you, Matt, even though I know he's your favorite character.
As you were lovingly launching into all this, because honestly, this was, I thought that you would pick Savage Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
This is a character that I considered for a lot of the reasons. And so I did some small amount of research and I did happen to know that this cartoon was on Peacock.
It was. I wonder if Paul knows that the Savage Dragon cartoon show from 1995/1996, both seasons are available on NBC's streaming app, Peacock.
I wonder if he cares, though.
I didn't know that, but I'll check it out. Why wouldn't I check out the Savage Dragon cartoon?
Because it is peak 90s madness, which you have zero tolerance for.
I don't have zero tolerance for it. I just wasn't born into it like you guys were.
Wait, what was it again?
Born into it.
Ah. You know what? All great characters, silhouette, voice.
One or the other, right?
You can't have both most of the time.
I revisited some of those episodes, and I'm going to watch them all. I'll tell you that right now. I watched about 1.5, and then I fell asleep for bed.
But I'll get to them, folks. I'll get to them.
1.5! I made it through half. You know what?
I fell asleep. I put it on late. I fell asleep. I only found out about it, like last week, okay? So I kept thinking, like, man, if they would take the first trade paperback of Savage Dragon, it's called Baptism of Fire. It's his initial introduction where he is found in a burning field with no memory of who he is. He joins the police force. Again, super iconic. This green character with that fin wearing the bright baby blue police fatigues. Just such a...
You don't think that's problematic in 2021?
Well, that's the thing. This would be a period piece. Savage Dragon has always been set in real time. One of the few comic books
early
that
90s
does that.
When they loved the police in Los Angeles.
Well, he this
would is be Chicago.
A Chicago hero.
But, you know, same thing.
He was also fighting against super freaks and not
super freaky.
That's what they were called.
Couldn't get it out fast enough.
That was his theme song.
Very kinky villains.
They called them super freaks instead of like mutants. I guess they were called like mutants
because
the
freaky lawyers at Marvel would sue the fucking shit out of
so I
sue the fin off you.
He joins the force and he has these incredible battles against these larger than life characters. So I'm picturing this being a 90-minute feature on, like, a Netflix or something.
Shocking.
What?
That you would make this a movie, is what Paul was saying.
Oh, instead of a... Well, because I specifically want this story. I don't... Like, if they want to do the whole series, go for it. But I feel like it is... These first, like, three episodes are such a good kickoff. And I'll tell you this. If they wanted to then make it like a show, but I think you can take that initial miniseries. They initially made it three issues, and then Larson went back and did it. If you remember, Ian, he re-released it as a 5-issue series called just The Dragon, and they were 99 cents each, and it was 5 issues. What he did was he added the pages from, like, the extra pages from that trade paperback, and then I guess he added some additional pages to kind of, like, add some filler to it, and he made it 5 full issues. I don't think that was ever collected anywhere. I don't even think it's available digitally.
Do you own that?
I do, yeah. And but anyway, it's that story that can be this 90-minute feature, 2D animation, but, like, I want good animation. I was watching some snippets from Akira, because we were talking about anime last week, which is kind of what initially inspired, I think, the thoughts about doing this episode as an animation episode. And I don't think I would want it to be, like, super Japanese in style, but Akira in particular just has a very, I think, a very fluid animation style. It's very, very, like, well done, and has great, like, a really smooth frame rate to it. And it's not over the top with, like, silly Japanese, like, big eyes or, like, weird things going on. I feel like that's the kind of 2D style I would want out of this show.
Yeah.
Eric Larson has long said that Bruce Willis is what Savage Dragon sounds like. Bruce Willis, we're going to hire you. You are going to voice the dragon, and we're going to get this thing made once and for all.
Let's get that green light going.
I like that.
Because he's green, Ian. Oh. Savage Dragon is green.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Matt,
would you watch this on Netflix? Would you watch this feature film?
100%.
This 90-minute epic.
100%. I would, even though you are placing it in as a period piece now in the 90s, I think it would have updated storytelling and animation, and I think think it would be quite good.
I think it would be quite good too. I think the thing that is so good, I think, about the early Savage Dragon is the supporting cast was really good in that book. It really was. It was like a Spider-Man type of supporting cast, just characters all over the place that you liked and that you wanted to see more of. So,
and they're all really interesting. It was sort of like when we talk about a band's first album and they're waiting their whole life to just dump and all these ideas and tell these certain stories and all these songs that have been percolating in their minds for so long. That's kind of what I thought about a lot of the Image stuff, was these were the kind of characters and the kind of stories that these guys have always wanted to tell. And Eric Larson in particular had just a boatload of heroes that he created. He had the most output, I think, of just characters and character design out of any of those original creators.
Yeah, he's by far the most prolific of all of those comic book creators. He's one of the most prolific comic book people that has ever lived, to be honest with you. And he was just waiting for the right time to unleash his childhood creations into his own stuff. And it was, like, it all came together in the perfect way at the perfect time. And it, to me, it's just wrong that this particular property has never been made into a legitimate, like a legitimate animation or live action medium, like especially in the era of superheroes. Don't forget, Savage Dragon at one time was one of the top 5 biggest things in comic books. Like, it was huge at one time. It peaked a little too early for the cinematic superhero boom, but I don't even necessarily want to see that. Like, I never really did. Once Hellboy came out, I was like, maybe it could work. Mm-hmm. But I've always felt like its home was in traditional 2D animation. It just felt like it would work just right.
And Savage Dragon is a very mature and violent comic book. So I think the fact that the USA version that came out was so Saturday morning cartoon-ish, and it really took a lot of the teeth away from the core of the story, which was
ironic
blood and guts.
Man. Ironic. Well, you know, it's funny. That was actually one of the miniseries.
I know.
Ironic that it was during the extreme power hour or whatever. It was definitely something extreme. And it was so not extreme. It was the declawed version mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out who's going to do the music for this, Ian, but I'll get back to you on that.
John Williams, naturally.
Even I would say I don't think that would work.
Paul, would you like to go next or do you want me to go?
Ian, why don't you go?
Okay. It's a tough one to follow, I know, but...
It is. And what I'm going to propose here is I think that this is a absolute no-brainer. I'm honestly shocked that there hasn't been... Somebody hasn't taken a swing at this before. It's one of the more famous and recognizable characters. You can recognize him from a silhouette. You can recognize him from his voice, but he's never really had a real like feature film.
Wait. Keep going. I'm going to see if I can guess this.
In a recognizable form, he hasn't had a feature film, I will say. Would you like to try to guess?
Galactus.
Yeah, the Galactus Power Hour.
Would you say you know him by his voice?
You would know him by his voice. You would know him by his silhouette. He has had a movie, but it was not a recognizable movie. Does that give it away?
Is it Ghost Rider?
No.
Wait.
I'll give you one more guess, and then I'll just go into it.
It wasn't a recognizable movie.
Recognizable voice is what's fucking me up. So we've heard a definitive voice for this character before.
Yes.
Or it was a character.
He sort of has like a catchphrase that I think in a voice that you would know him.
Was it a comic book character?
It was not a comic book character.
So his first appearance is when you hear his voice.
No, I would not say that.
Wait, one more hint. I don't even know what to
Matt,
ask
you
for
should,
a hint.
You definitely should know this person.
It's Spawn. I'm sending you to hell. That's the catchphrase.
That is it. That is it now.
Hold on. Is the catchphrase na 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 na
is the collective X-Men? No.
Who is it?
Super Mario. It's me! And he has a recognizable silhouette. Super Mario, the world of Super
Paul
Mario.
Paul hates this show already.
I don't care. The Look, mushroom... Well, it's not no, even a I, show. It's a movie, so Paul really hates it.
A movie?
Live action?
Not live action.
No.
That's why I said he had a movie, but it wasn't a recognizable version of Super
yes.
Mario.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm fine with this. I don't know if like, yeah, I guess that voice is recognizable, but like, do you want 2 hours of
I don't
that
think,
voice?
No, I don't think that you would use that voice. But I'm saying that is a recognizable. If you say that, people are like, yeah, Mario.
Is this a 3D animation? 2D?
I would say let's go 3D animation. I think that would work. I think a real lush Pixar style, or maybe like Wreck-It Ralph comes to mind, since that's a video game and they did some elements of old retro kind
you're
of
not,
video games.
You're not picturing like a Sonic the Hedgehog treatment where everybody's real and then there's an animated Mario running around?
I would not like that. So we're
because
going...
Because if everyone else is human, why would one human be animated?
I don't know.
Well, if
and
you...
Luigi's like a human too. Right. Only Mario's animated.
How
Luigi's Bill Hader, but Mario's animated.
Right. Princess Peach is a real person.
just smoking a cigarette. Like, you're late, Mario. I was in another castle.
Ganon is a regular person.
So yeah, it's Super Mario. Super Mario, I think, would honestly, like I said, it's a no-brainer. I think it's a really vibrant world. A lot of people know Mario. He is a worldwide character that has a lot of recognizable traits to him.
What's the story gonna be?
I don't really know off the top of my head, but I would imagine it's just the basic Super Mario 1 kind of story. You could probably meld together Super Mario 1 and Super Mario 3, where you're chasing after these sky castles, trying to find the princess.
I think there's great potential here for, like, capturing a mushroom in the beginning and turning him around to the cause, and having, like, one of the mushrooms become, like, you know, Baby Groot or Rocket or one of the beloved characters of the show.
You mean one of the Goombas? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Yes. Because the Mushroom People, as we all know, it's the Mushroom Kingdom, and they've been overtaken by Koopa and his evil troops of lizards and fucking goons that fly in clouds and turtles, evil turtles. I think that that's all
aren't
you really...
Aren't they turtles in the clouds?
There are some turtles in clouds, Hammer Brothers, different kinds of things.
For some reason...
Wait, so are the
Goombas... Goombas are the little mushroom-looking things.
But they're turned evil. They're not they're not little people, and then they get turned into looking like mushrooms?
No. They were always... The Goombas were always evil. Only the Mushroom People are good in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Right, but much like Finn is a stormtrooper in The Force Awakens.
Yes, I know
that. One of the Goombas...
Yes, I know that that's what you were
turns
doing.
Turns around to the cause.
I would say no. I think that just the Mushroom Kingdom being invaded by Koopa and his Troopas and capturing the princess, and then Mario and his...
So you don't want any kind of character growth in this?
No. Okay. I don't think that that's what the people or the children would want from a super... I'm not trying to subvert expectations with a transgressive Mushroom Kingdom tale. I just want straight-up Super Mario Brothers.
I think that will work. I didn't say one of them is turning into a woman or vice versa.
I didn't say transvestite. I said transgressive, but you know.
I think they're such cute characters. Like, I think it would be really easy to, like, bring one of those guys along for the cause and turn him around. And he's like, "Fuck, what have we been doing this whole time?"
Who knows? Maybe, yeah, maybe one. Maybe one of the Hammer Brothers joins the gang, and he's.
I don't think that's like Rian Johnson levels of like turning. The world on its head.
I think
that's just fun. This is a cute character. He's a good guy now.
I think that's a little too much business for Super Mario 1. Now Super Mario 2.
Well, audience if even that turn of character is too sophisticated? Like,
I don't...
3-year-olds? Is that what you're marketing this for?
No, I didn't say too sophisticated. It was just there's too much there. Like, why don't we just focus on Mario and Luigi and Princess Toadstool?
Rescuing the princess.
Or Princess Peach, I guess it is now. But yeah, like, let's just... do the brothers and the brotherly bond that we all love so much. Why don't we do that story, and you can build on that? I don't think we need to add in a fucking Goomba.
I got it.
Turn
it's
good.
Super Mario Natural.
Yeah, right. Carry on, my wayward plums.
And eventually, we'll introduce Castiel Goomba in part 2.
We got it. It's Castiel Yoshi, you know? That's all good. We got it. Yoshi is the dinosaur. Oh, my God.
I know who fucking Yoshi is, but Yoshi's never bad. Castiel's bad when you first meet him.
No, he's not. He's an angel when you first meet Castiel.
Yeah, but angels are dicks, and, like, he's not good to them.
Do you see how convoluted this is that you're doing? We don't want Super Mario to be this.
It's much easier turning a Goomba around because Goombas are not known for being good to begin with.
That is our... local Goomba expert, Paul McGinty. So that's what I would do. Super Mario Brothers. I think it would be super fucking fun. Bright, lush, already a character that has worldwide recognition. You could make billboards that just have the Mario M, and people would be like, oh, fuck.
I don't know why this hasn't been done yet.
That's what I'm saying. It's a no-brainer. Like,
Is there, you guys are the video game guys, why hasn't this been done yet? Is Nintendo just holding on to this?
Nintendo like, just yes. doesn't
until
do
they
stuff
get their
like
own
that.
Animated company
they
off the ground.
They have great fucking characters and they don't do stuff like this.
I think they're opening the Nintendo Land or whatever like now. It's opening up. I think it's in Japan. There's a theme park, a Nintendo theme park.
Do you think maybe there's a hesitance to give Mario an actual personality? Like Disney doesn't really want to give Mickey Mouse a personality because he's sort of the face of Disney. Mario's the face of Nintendo. So they don't want to lock him into anything?
I don't know about all that because he did have a couple of cartoon series where he did have some kind of personality. He was he had the movie. I mean, the crazy ass movie where he was, used
Bob
to
Hoskins,
work with,
right?
he used to work with a cartoon bunny. So I don't think that there's a hesitancy for that. I just don't think that Nintendo does this kind of stuff.
But Nintendo characters were they in or not in Wreck-It Ralph?
I can't remember off the top of my head. I know that a lot of Atari characters were in Wreck-It Ralph. Was Donkey Kong in Wreck-It Ralph?
I think so.
So and maybe some Nintendo characters were, but
Sonic
I can't remember.
Sonic was in it, right?
Possibly, but yeah, I don't know. I just don't think that, I don't know if Nintendo marches to the beat of its own drum. It does its own thing. And what would seem like a no-brainer, as we're saying, to everybody else, Nintendo looks at and is like, well, we don't do that.
I keep picturing the kind of the ocean sequences from like Finding Nemo as far as like this sort of exotic land, kind of like vibes of that for like the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah.
Less water, Paul, but kind of the same general tone. And I think they could play it safe with Mario and give him a personality and an arc and all that and not have to risk alienating people or making people be like, geez, I don't know about this Mario guy anymore. I think they can probably pull that off without tarnishing the legacy.
And I think really leveraging the relationship with him and Luigi, however they want to do that, I think that would be a good way to really explore those characters.
Yeah, it could be a movie about brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds bonkers to me that they haven't done it yet.
Yep.
Well, the thing that I'm encouraged about is the fact that what's his name? Miyamoto. What's his first name?
Hayao Miyazaki.
No. Miyamoto, the creator of Mario. We know that he listens to this show, so I'm sure now that we've planted the seed, I'm sure that we'll be seeing this within the next couple of years now.
Yeah, like, I don't know why, like, all like that, Link, Metroid, like, they're such good properties to branch out.
If I'm not mistaken, in the media. There's some kind of Zelda project in the works as far as film or something. Maybe not live action, but some kind of not video game type media that I believe they're working on. I mean, I'm all for it. I think that's actually a pretty pretty cool idea. And I think it's overdue. What I wanted to ask Ian was, what is this? Is it going to be, you have to be a subscriber to the Nintendo channel to get it? Or... is this going to come to theaters?
Where are they releasing the movie?
Yeah, so it's going to be, I'm assuming, Ian's looking at a 90-minute feature, just like the Savage Dragon. Obviously, these can be, you know, your double feature day when you go to the theater. If these do end up... Ian, is this Mario movie going to be released in theaters?
Yeah, all across the globe. Yeah, I would say that this should be a big feature film, like a Disney release or something like that.
Is it gonna be an American production or is this a Japanese production?
American production. I think it has all the, you know, Pixar sensibilities and the general look of that kind of animation. I think that that would work really well with Mario. We've already seen 3D Mario.
Maybe
so just a more elevated version of
maybe
that.
Maybe Nintendo will start a Nintendo Animation House that is headed up by former Pixar animators.
Could be.
There you go.
I like it. I like that idea.
Well, you know what I'm curious about, Ian, is if we're going to like Paul's idea for some kind of animation.
I can't imagine that we would, Matt.
It's your turn.
Oh, is it my turn?
It's your turn.
It's my turn. So, like, what I want to see is a good... I want to see a good BPRD animated series. For those uninitiated, that's the Hellboy spinoff that is the Bureau of Paranormal Research and Defense. It's about a worldwide agency that polices paranormal stuff around the world. It's, you know, Hellboy's X-Files. Hellboy was born into the BPRD. At some point in the books, Hellboy goes off on his own sort of vision quest, like Obi-Wan has to go fight Darth Vader himself. Hellboy leaves, and the BPRD is left without like their big gun that they would send into everything, and the rest of the troops have to rally to fill the void and pick up where Hellboy used to get a lot of shit done. And like that's where I'd pick it up, I think. When I started getting into comics, Hal Jordan, the first Green Lantern, wasn't wasn't around anymore. He was presumed dead. There was a long comic-y story in there, but he's essentially dead. But through all the comic books I read, they drop references. Oh, Hal Jordan. Hal Jordan was so great. Oh, Hal Jordan. If only we had Hal Jordan. And that's kind of how I would start this BPRD series, where you get this lore of Hellboy, and Hellboy was here, and we're stuck. It's kind of like how the first season of Doom Patrol deals with missing the chief. Like, they don't know what to do. They're in a bit of disarray because the leader isn't there. The guy that was in charge isn't there anymore. And that's how I would present the story. It's these disparate characters with all these different abilities having to all pull themselves together to fill this big hole. And Hellboy is very much part of the story while not being in the story.
What kind of animated style would you give this BPRD cartoon?
Ian, I don't know, because I don't want it to be like I would want it to be like the animated series. But I like the more adult tone of Netflix Castlevania, but that's too adult.
A lot of sex in that. Incest.
There doesn't need to be weird incest three ways. There doesn't need to be a lot of blood. I thought the same way about Harley Quinn. It doesn't need to be blood and guts. There's so much supernatural and paranormal and like alien stuff in the BPRD that I think you can get away with gore, but it's not eviscerating a human being. So standards and practices is going to be like, all right, you can eviscerate a robot. You can see wire guts. That's fine.
Gore,
or you can see
light.
The insides of a frog. That's fine. But I like the
BPRD meets the FCC.
I like the color palette and tone of Castlevania. Like, I like the idea of it being a darker colored series, like the animated series. A lot of it was, you know, painted on those black backgrounds. Like, I don't think the sky in the BPRD series should be anything but red. It's just red all the time. Just like in Gotham, sky should be red all the time. Whenever in a movie you're in Gotham, and it's like a blue sky, I'm like, this isn't Gotham. You shot this in fucking Chicago. It just doesn't feel like this real place to me. So I don't think there's one animated style that I would like.
Could you imagine how fucking traumatic it would be if we went outside right now and the sky was red?
Yeah, I mean, we're very privileged. I'm sure if we asked some people in the Middle East about that, they'd be like, well, yeah, no duh. That's right all the time.
Yes, yes, yes.
But yeah, I don't have a specific animated style. Not 3D, not Pixar-y. It's too
I don't think
it's
that
too
would
clean.
Fit.
Yeah, I think I would want it to be 2D. Because I was like, oh, I love what that the 2012 Nickelodeon Ninja Turtles series did. But that's also a little too crisp. Like, I think it needs to be 2D. It needs to be sort of dark. And I think I want it to have the tone of Doom Patrol and Umbrella Academy. I would have picked the Umbrella Academy as an option, but the show did the books better than the books did.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one example of a show or movie outdoing the source material.
I agree.
So, like, it should definitely have that tone. It's kind of like a broken family. There's a lot of comedy involved. Mike Mignola has much, I think much like Stephen King, he's got an understated way of delivering comedy in his works. And, like, that's the tone I would want, that kind of Umbrella Academy comedy to it. But yeah, that's like it would work so great. It's episodic. Mm-hmm. There's so much stuff that goes down in those BPRD books. You're sending them off to different locations all the time. You don't need to worry about it being live action. Oh fuck, this needs to look like Atlantis, this needs to look like Nevada, this needs to look like Stonehenge. Like, it's animated. Send them anywhere you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna work.
Would you do it on Netflix? Would you do it on? Would it be a series of films?
I'd probably want it. I'd do a series. I'd probably do. I wouldn't do what Transformers is doing. I think it's too short. You get like each of these Siege or these War for Cybertron seasons. They're six like half hour episodes.
Yeah,
that's not enough. And man, these like the more I watch of that stuff, I'm like that budget for that. Shoestring.
Yeah, it isn't shoestring. Very good.
If you're going to do CG Transformers, you better kick up some fucking cashola because your product is junk. I wouldn't want to do it on Netflix because Netflix is going to cancel it after three seasons. I don't know. It would have to be a streaming service. I don't trust any network.
Maybe it could
to give the money to it.
Ooh,
could live where?
Maybe Shutter. It could be a Shudder exclusive.
I would want more eyes on it. So I'd probably go Prime. I think Prime would give it the financial backing and it would give it the room to breathe. Prime already has the Ultraviolet, The Boys. So I think
Invincible is coming to it.
Yeah. And it which is also the, supposed
animated,
to be very violent.
The animated super extreme animation hour.
Savage Dragon, Invincible. BPRD. Super Mario.
Actually, hey, if Invincible...
It's your palate cleanser.
If Invincible proves to be successful, maybe you could see a Savage Dragon kind of spin out of that because Kirkman is like one of Larson's proteges, and I don't know. Maybe. I'm just saying, like, if it does well... Amazon's going to be like, all right, what else you got? What else can we work with here?
What's cool is that everybody that is making these decisions already listened to this show, so they can, I mean, feel free to take our ideas, yeah, kick us back a little bucks here, but
I need to see more of that Invincible show because the clip that's out there, it's very static, and like I watched it, I was like, oh, this animation sucks. But they're not... It's like two characters floating, talking to each other. Like, there's not a lot there. And I hope the rest of it's better because that clip's very underwhelming.
Yeah, it's maybe not the best clip to showcase, but I'm still going to have to watch it.
Yeah, I would not hire that animation house for
BPRD. What about,
BPRD.
What about like, Archer? animation style. What about Venture Brothers?
Yeah, Venture Brothers, maybe. I feel like that's a... I like that color palette and that animation sensibility, but not necessarily the character style.
Oh, you know what could work? What about Metalocalypse animation style?
I feel like that's just Venture Brothers with a metal band.
Okay.
Do we want to run through and do sort of like a lightning round where we talk about our second option here?
Yeah. We could do that.
Matt, you want to go first?
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, well, I had a different one, but I'm going to be self-indulgent here, and I'm gonna say my creation, Fat Man, should get an animated show.
Oh, my God. You'll have to put some artwork up then, so that's what it's going to force you to...
To put up some artwork.
Advertise Fat Man, yeah.
So, for the dear listeners, if I haven't talked about this character that I created before, I created a superhero when I was 9 called Fat Man, and I've kind of added some more characters to his cast over the years, and I have a pretty detailed story outline for his origin, which also coincides with one of the bigger villains. They both sort of share an origin. It's a pretty well-realized story that I think could... It's a two-part story. I always intended for it to be like two comic book issues to kind of kick off the series. But I've always kind of felt like the property would work better as an animation type thing. I think each episode could feature a different villain because I have sort of a fairly robust stable of like silly, goofy villains that I think would work maybe over the course of like a 12 episode series. So yeah, Paul, this is actually a show. And we'll kick it off with a two-part pilot, let's say. And if it proves to be successful, then we'll do the next 10 episodes and feature all the different crazy villains.
Who would your villain or villains be for parts 1 and 2?
It would be so part 1 starts with Fat Man, aka Melvin Blavatsky, getting his powers during a
fat storm,
during a charity telethon, and he ends up in an act of heroism, gets sort of covered in a chemical that ends up giving him some superpowers. Mostly it makes him bouncy and kind of durable. Mm-hmm. And he's able to withstand kind of a beating. But in the course of his heroics, he ends up being a part of some action that destroys one of the other characters' farms, just a simple farmer. And it drives him to want revenge.
I don't think I've ever heard of the origin of
Batman.
So part one is...
And this villain who... I know who you're talking
part
about.
Part one is general disaster. Fat Man gets his powers, accidentally destroys the farm. Part two is the Quaker.
One year later, the Quaker has... He was
the Quaker in 2021? Would Quakers
be mad?
This is a
timeless story. We're not going to concern ourselves with such things. So the big battle in the first episode takes place in Atlas City, and it ends up kind of spilling out into the country farmlands area, and the farm gets destroyed, and Jacob, the simple farmer, Quaker, his livelihood and life is somewhat torn apart as a result, and he decides to embrace technology to help destroy the society that destroyed his life. So he one year later returns to Atlas City now as the Quaker, and he is able to harness these like gauntlet that he wears and creates like earthquakes. That's when Fat Man needs to step up and try to stop him. The first part is...
needs to tip the scales of justice.
That's right. Oh, I like that. Write that down. But, I think it could be a fun show. I picture it in... If I had my pick, I'm going to get the guys that made Into the Spider-Verse to do the animation for it. I want it highly stylized, but yet kind of like... still, I want it to feel a little 3D, but still retain some 2D elements to it. I think that's such a cool look. I'd probably tone some of it down a little bit, though, actually. But the general sensibility, I would like that. For those of you that don't know who this character is, but trust me, it would be pretty cool.
Check out our social media. Matt is going to graciously put up some pictures of all of these characters that he was talking about and that have lived in his imagination and in his portfolio for all these years. So the world will get to see and meet Fat Man and the Quaker. The world will know his weight. I'll be pretty quick with mine. I'd like to see an animated series of Stephen King's The Dark Tower. I would like it to be, you know, HBO Max, seven seasons long. Probably also sort of like in the style of Castlevania or some kind of, you know, darker anime looking stuff. You could really, I think that you could do
heavy metal
or heavy metal, something like that. You could do all of the fantastical locations and crazy beings and all of that stuff in animation without restraint of budget. I think that story, I love those stories, and I think that...
Did you read all of The Dark Tower?
Mm-hmm. I did read all of The Dark Tower. Did you see the movie?
No.
It's terrible.
Yeah, I don't need to see it. I read all of it.
No, I know
so
you
So I
did.
Don't need to see it.
Yeah.
How many books is it?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Eight?
Holy shit.
But
some are shorter than others. The original, the first one, The Gunslinger, it's
walks
maybe an inch tall.
Yeah, I'd probably put... The Gunslinger and The Drawing of the Three, the second book.
Yeah.
I'd put those together as one season, and you can do some of that. So I'd probably stretch out Wizard and Glass because
it's the best one.
Yeah, that's the best one. Now, was the Marvel Comics series, that they added some stuff onto that sort of
I only
tale,
read
right?
The Wizard and Glass portion when they're in there. It's like the Western story with her in Gilead when Roland's young.
Is that with J. Lee artwork?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did
J. Lee.
Really branched out the series, but that, I think, is that just called the Gunslinger?
Gunslinger Born.
Gunslinger Born, yeah. That was,
called.
Man, that book is so good, and that comic series, outstanding.
Perfect J. Lee art, really good colors. I think Richard Isidore was the colorist. He was really popular at the beginning of the 2000s. He did a lot of Marvel's, like, sort of painterly looking books. I think he did that Wolverine story and the, like, Wolverine Origins or whatever it was called. I forget exactly.
When I was a kid, I used to get Jay Lee confused with Jim Lee.
Racist.
And what?
I'm just kidding.
And I also used to get Larson confused with Liefeld. Like, I would see the names... Yeah. But I hadn't figured out whose art was whose. Like, it just, they weren't really clicking in my brain yet. So I would see the names, but not exactly know who was who yet.
Yeah.
So I always got those four guys confused with each other.
I think it would be cool if there's some way that you could bring that J. Lee artwork to life. I know it's very intricate, but if you could kind of borrow some of those tropes and traits.
I think you could do it. His artwork is very fluid. It looks like water a lot.
It could be filmed with like some kind of filter put over it to make it look like art.
Yeah.
Like like a Scanner Darkly or something like that.
Yeah, that's a good kind of pick there. So,
or what was the, what were those? Was it Ralph
Bakshi,
the Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. and American Pop or something.
Yeah, this like, kind of had that feel.
Yeah, kind of like that, but make sure the art's a little more Jay Lee-ish, and then I think you're there.
So that would be my pick, the Dark Tower
that's,
series.
I like that we've defined the art style. Get on it, Ralph.
I'll call him up. Is he still in my contacts? I'm not sure.
Ralph Bakshi?
Yeah.
Isn't he dead? 30 years at this point?
Like, I don't know. But, you know, we're necromancers Find here. So, Paul, wrap us up. Take us home, brother. What you got?
A bit of a deep cut for you non-comic listeners, but I'm going to do Mouse Guard in the Studio Ghibli style.
Oh, wow.
Mouse Guard is essentially Lord of the Rings, but mice against owls and snakes and weasels. The Mouse Guard, it takes place in like medieval times. It surrounds a different colonies of mice, and the Mouse Guard helps the mice travel from like city to city, and they run into a host of different problems, be it elements and the weather or
cheese
the natural
famine.
Predators, cheese famine. And it sounds silly at first blush, but oh my God, like I have all the Mouse Guard books. It's so good. It's so robust. David Peterson did such a good job building the world. The world building is so fucking cool.
That's the writer, David Peterson?
Writer and artist.
Okay.
They get to a seaside town, and the town's been, like, ransacked by a crab. And, like, the mice have to fight this, like, substantially larger crab, and, like, the artwork in it is, like, when I think of Mouse Guards, it's one of the first things I think of is, like, this battle against this crab because, I mean, mice are soft and furry and squishy, and this crab, it should just be, like, fucking their day up.
It's
ingenious how they get...
Is there butter involved?
How they, even though, like, the mice have, like, cloaks and knives and they're anthropomorphic and everything, I don't think they use butter. But it's just so cool the way they do that stuff, and I think the Studio Ghibli style would work great for this. It's a very G-rated story. I mean, some of it gets a little when like an owl gets his like eye put out.
Ouch.
But it's I think it would work so good. It's maybe not as like no duh as the Mario idea, but I know they've tried to get a Mouse Guard animated series off the ground a couple times. I don't know why it's been hitched up, but man, it just seems like a no-brainer. This would work so good as a Studio Ghibli style film. I would love to see it. And if you haven't read Mouse Guard and you have access to some digital comic library, Archaea by Archaea Press, go look it up because they're really cool, really neat stories. If you like fantasy and adventure, Mouse Guard's very cool.
Did you ever hear of the book series called Redwall?
In our 358 episodes, I must have, but I don't remember.
It's a book series about a little mouse and adventures and all that stuff. I think it's kind of like what all this mice storytelling, whether it's Sony PlayStation's Mouse, what was that, M-A-U-S or something?
Moss,
or Mice Templar.
Mouse is the Holocaust story.
Right, it was the Holocaust. I was thinking Moss is the PlayStation game. But anyway, there was one that was written in the 80s called Red Guard, and I guess it's a whole series, and in fact, it even does have an animated series already, Paul.
What a long lineage of heroic mice medieval madness.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Our friend Ian pulled it up on his computer, so...
Glorious Mice.
Yeah. Might be up your alley. I don't know.
I may look it up.
You may read it, and then you'll be like, God damn, now I want two mice series in my life. So
makes me want to watch A Secret in M.
Or An American's Hell. That's going to do it for us tonight. My name is Paul Fievel McGinty.
Ian Mouse Sharply.
Matt Bakshi. By the way, he's still alive.
How old is he?
He's like in his 80s.
All right. Doing good work, Matt Bakshi. We'll see you next time.